Welcome to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Conversations that are real, raw, and relevant. Let's get the conversation started now.
Hey, welcome to episode number 8 of Necessary Conversations. I'm excited about today's episode because, listen, we're going to talk about the importance of checking on your strong friends. Whether you're the strong friend or you got people around you that appear to be strong, all of us, every now and then, need somebody that will check on us. Hey, let me ask you a question. How you doing? No, seriously. How are you really doing? Now, I know that question perhaps caught you off guard because you're not used to someone really asking you how you're doing. But I'm really concerned, and I really want to know, how you doing? Now, you may say, well, Daryl, you can't hear my response. While I can't hear your response, I genuinely want you to answer this question. How are you doing? You know, 2020 has arguably been one of the most challenging years of our time. From January until this very day, it feels as if we've been on an emotional roller coaster. It's like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. I mean, think about it. It's like we've been in a bad dream that we can't seem to wake up from. And no matter how many times we toss and turn, no matter how many times we pinch ourselves, no matter how many times we try to shake ourselves awake, the dream keeps getting worse and worse and worse. This dream is no longer a dream. It has become a nightmare. The fact is, when you look at the news, when you scroll on social media, you see all that's happening around us, all of the racial inequalities, all of the issues that are happening in our government, all of the challenges happening in our school system. I have to pause and I have to ask you, how are you doing? How are you dealing with it all? How are you handling it from one day to the next? You see, for many of us, it all started on January 26th when we got the dreaded news that Kobe Bryant, along with his daughter Gianna, as well as 7 others, were killed in a helicopter crash. Kobe Bryant, this 5-time NBA champion, this 18-time NBA All-Star, passed away, killed in a helicopter crash? Yeah. This young man, known for his hard work on the court as well as his philanthropic efforts off the court, Kobe Bryant, dead in a helicopter crash. You know, for a moment, it felt as if the world stood still as people from all across the globe paused and reflected on a life well lived. You know, I remember thinking, as I'm sure you thought, wow, what a way to start the year. But what we didn't realize is what a year this would be. Let me pause right here. Hey, friend, how are you? You okay? How are you processing it all? How are you dealing with life from day to day? You see, I'm asking these questions with great intention. I'm asking these questions in an effort to really solicit an actual and authentic response from you. And the reason I'm asking these questions of you is because although you may be strong for those in your life, although you have to be the go-to person for somebody who needs an answer from time to time, I want to tell you in this moment, it's all right to be weak. There are times in which you deal with challenges and you don't have anyone to turn to. There are times in which you deal with issues and problems, and sometimes the strong one does not have a place to vent. Who is your sounding board? Who is the person that you can go to and vent to when you're dealing with challenges and issues and problems and circumstances? You see, the fact is, I really want to know how you're doing. I really want to know how you're holding up. You see, 2020 has been an interesting year. In addition to losing Kobe, we've lost some amazing people along the way. From Katherine Johnson, was a former NASA scientist and mathematician best known for her work in calculating rocket trajectories by hand, to actor Chadwick Boseman, best known for his role as the Marvel superhero Black Panther. dying after dealing with a 4-year stint with colon cancer. Wakanda forever, y'all. Here's the reality. No one knew that. No one knew that he was silently suffering, dealing with colon cancer. You see, the fact is, 2020 has started, and it's like it's gone downhill. In addition to losing all of these individuals, we've lost civil rights leaders, such as C.T. Vivian and Representative John Lewis, and as of late, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. All three who were staunch advocates for justice, standing and fighting on the front lines of both racial and gender equality. And in addition to these notable figures, several others have died along the way. Now, these individuals weren't notable because of what they did for equality. These individuals weren't notable for what they did on the big screen or notable for what they did on the basketball court. But these individuals were unfortunately thrust on the grand stage for the world to know their names simply because of police brutality and racial inequality. George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and every other senseless killing and senseless death in between. Let me ask you something, strong man, strong woman. How you doing? How you holding up? You see, I wanted to pause in this series of episodes to check on you. Because there's so much happening around us. There's so much happening to us that every now and then it's important to pause. It's important to put our kickstand down, take a break from the reality of life, and deal with the realities happening inside of us. You see, so much can be happening around us that we're aloof to what's happening within us. Although these deaths may have affected all of us in an indirect way, the most crucial challenge that has affected all of us in a very direct way is the novel coronavirus. This virus has affected the world in an unprecedented way, causing us to change the way we live, move, function, and even do life. Here's a question that I want to ask you. You know what it is. How you doing? No, really. Don't skirt around this question. How are you really doing? Because it's important that you pause and deal with the reality of where you are right now. After all, we're just in the month of September, and we have a few more months left in this year. Already, we've experienced loss. We've experienced calamity. We've experienced challenge right before our very eyes. And this year, as I mentioned earlier, has taken us on an unwilling and unrelenting emotional roller coaster. Whether we wanted to go or not, here we are. The fact is, all of us are now in a state of grief. Now, I know you may be thinking, Daryl, wait a minute, now you've gone too far. I'm not grieving anything. Yes, you are. You see, all of us are grieving life how we once knew it. And grief is universal. At some point, all of us, regardless as to who we are, what we know, how much money we have, who our family members are, all of us at some point or another will experience grief. Grief may come due to the death of a loved one or the loss of a job or even the severance of a relationship. Anytime there's an unintentional alteration to the life you once knew, you will grieve. You see, grief is personal. The way I grieve may be different than the way that you grieve. What affects me may not affect you. And what affects you may not affect someone else. Grief is something we all experience, but we do so in different ways. Grief is a journey. It's a process. Grief is not something that you can rush. It's not a very neat thing or an organized thing. It's not even linear. It doesn't follow the natural progression of steps. It does not follow a timeline or a schedule. You see, the fact is, you may be happy today and be crying tomorrow. You may be celebrating in one moment and be sad the next. You may be around a lot of people at 5 o'clock, and by 5:05, You may feel withdrawn, even though people may be all around you. You see, grief is an equal opportunity employer. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much you know. All of us will experience grief. But we all grieve differently. But there are indeed some commonalities in the stages and the order in which we experience grief. The fact is, this has been an interesting year. From January to February, March, April, May, June, July, August, and now we're in September, this has been a challenging year. You know, there's an amazing book by Swiss-American psychiatrist Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She wrote this book on death and dying. She mentioned that grief could be divided into five stages. Although her observations came from dealing with death, actual death, we can apply these same stages to various methods in which we grieve. And here they are: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Let's get to it. Step one is denial. Often, when we experience grief, we quite naturally begin to deny that it's happening to us. If we experience a job loss, we begin to rationalize it and say to ourselves, well, they were mistaken. Certainly they couldn't have fired me. They'll call me tomorrow. We begin to convince ourselves that the error was not on our part for something that we've done, but the error is on their part. When we experience the death of a loved one or the death of a friend, we begin to deny that it even happened. And we say to ourselves, well, she's not gone or he's not gone. They'll call me in just a moment. They'll be here in just a few days. But the reality is, denial is simply a defense mechanism. It's a methodology used to help us avoid the reality of what we're going through. First stage is denial. The fact is, when you enter this stage of denial, this stage gives you more time to gradually absorb the news and begin to process it. You see, as you're denying it, you subconsciously give yourself time to really process the idiosyncrasies of what has taken place. But then the second stage is anger. You see, we use denial to cope with what has taken place. We use it as an effort and a tool to help us to process what has transpired in our lives. But anger comes as a method and a means to mask our emotions. When we're angry, we use that as a method to hide how we truly feel about the situation. Therefore, we begin to lash out at various things and various people. Not that they did anything to us, but we use anger as a defense mechanism. When there's a job loss, we're angry and we say, you know what? I didn't like the job anyway. I didn't like my boss anyway. I didn't like my coworkers anyway. But wait a minute. You liked them an hour ago when you were employed. You liked them 24 hours ago when you still had the job. The fact is, anger is a defense mechanism used to camouflage how you really feel. Even in the death of a loved one or the death of a friend, quite often you become angry with three people. Often you become angry with God. God, why would you allow my loved one to die? God, how could you, of all people, take my loved one right now? You become angry and you begin to say things to God that you ordinarily would not say to God. But then number two, you become angry with your loved one who has died. You know, why did you leave right now? Why did you have to leave? Why did you have to leave me right now? You begin to question and you begin to wonder. And you begin to be angry with them as if your anger could change what has taken place. But then the third person who you become angry with is yourself. And you begin to say things to yourself like, you know what? I should have called more. What is wrong with me? I should have been there more. But no, there's nothing that you could have done to change what has taken place. Let me pause and let me ask you, how you doing? How are you feeling in this moment? Are you in the state of denial? Have you been denying the true essence of what has been taking place this year? Have you been truly avoiding dealing with what has been happening all around us? Or have you been angry at what has taken place? As you've watched the news, have you been in a state of anger? Have you been in a state of being upset over everything that has taken place? Either justifiably so, or has your anger been non-justified? You see, I'm asking you these questions because ultimately, where we are on the trajectory of our grief determines when and how we'll come out. Let's continue. There's stage number three. There's bargaining. You see, during grief, we feel helpless. We feel as if often we're the only ones experiencing what we're experiencing. And often we begin to bargain with ourselves. We begin to bargain with God. And we begin to bargain with those around us. And we begin to say to ourselves, often lamenting over what has taken place. When there's a job loss, we begin to say, if only I had worked longer hours. Maybe if I would have come in earlier. Maybe if I would have just allowed them to see me working harder on that project, maybe I would still have the job. Or maybe not. When there's a death of a loved one or the death of a friend, you begin to bargain and you say, if only I had called him one more time, if only I had visited one more time, or maybe I should have gone over her house just one more time. She wouldn't be gone. She would still be here. Or maybe not. You see, the fact is we begin to bargain with ourselves. We begin to ask ourselves questions in an effort to ease the pain. What if statements or if only statements. For example, those who have been diagnosed with a terminal illness often will begin to bargain with themselves and say, you know what? If only I had gone to the doctor sooner, I could have stopped this. I could have got ahead of this. Or maybe not. The fourth stage is depression. Now, no matter who you are, no matter how much money you have, no matter what your socioeconomic pedigree may be, no matter what your religious beliefs are, there are many people who will experience the stage of depression. You see, the fact is, grief will take you on a roller coaster of emotion. You will have very high highs and some very low lows. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It just means that you can be overwhelmed in your grief. It can mean that every now and then you may feel foggy or confused or even heavy along the way. You see, the fact is, oftentimes when we are depressed, we feel as if we want to be by ourselves. We want to disconnect. We want to kind of separate ourselves from everybody around us. And we want to avoid all interaction in an effort simply not to worry about it at all. But actually, it's imperative that you deal with where you are right now. The fact is, when you're depressed, you begin to ask questions such as, how would I ever move on from this point? How would I ever move on from all that I've experienced? My life is coming to an end. How am I going to move on without him? How am I going to move on without her? You begin to ask these questions. And unfortunately, many times people are depressed because there is a whirlwind of emotions that mount and are levied upon you all at one time. Let me put my kickstand down and tell you, you can't deal with this by yourself. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask for a therapist or get help along the way. Doesn't mean that you're crazy. Doesn't mean that there's something wrong. It just simply means that you are aware of where you are right now. You know, the fifth stage is acceptance. Now listen, even though you accept the reality of what has taken place, whether it be a breakup or a death or a terminal illness or situations as relates to coronavirus, no matter what it is, even though you accept it, it doesn't mean that you're happy. It doesn't mean that you have, you know, moved on and that you've moved past it. No, it simply means that you have come to terms with the fact that it happened. Yep, this person passed away. Yes, I lost my job. Yes, there's a terminal illness. Yes, there's a breakup. Whatever it is, acceptance is vitally important. Now, here's the deal. Although there are five stages along the path, it does not mean that every person will deal with all five. Somebody may deal with one. Somebody may deal with two. But all of us will deal with at least one of these stages as we journey on the path of grief. There's a right way and a wrong way to deal with what you're going through. And here it is. The right way is to acknowledge it. You know, often when I chat with you about various things, I tell you the important thing that you have to do is you have to acknowledge it. You have to say to yourself, this hurts. This is painful. This does not feel good. The worst thing that you can do, and the wrong way to deal with it, is to avoid it. You see, avoiding it does nothing for you. When you avoid it, you're saying to yourself, this does not exist. This is not as important as I thought it should be. This is simply going to go away. But the reality is, the issues of 2020, the issues of your present situation will not go away simply by avoiding it. You've got to face it. If you want to fix it, you've got to face it. If you don't believe me, ask your bills. You can try to avoid your bills all day long. You can set them on your kitchen table and let them pile up as high as Mount Everest. Sooner or later, your lights will be cut off if you avoid that light bill. Your gas will be cut off if you avoid that gas bill. Things will happen if you avoid the necessities of life. But if you would just acknowledge it, after you acknowledge it, here's the next thing that you need to do. You need to deal with it. You see, the wrong thing to do is to deny it. You see, when you deny it and say, oh no, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not going to handle this. You allow it to grow and develop and to fester. And the small problem morphs into a larger one. But when you deal with it, you say to yourself, this is worth facing. This is worth fighting. This is worth overcoming. When you deal with it, you may not know how to deal with it, but at least you're setting yourself on a path and on a trajectory to get through it. The third important thing to do is to talk about it. You see, the wrong way to handle it is to internalize it. Oftentimes, we internalize our fears, our issues, our problems, and we say to ourselves, I'll just deal with this by myself, not realizing that the stress and anxiety is continuously mounting and mounting and mounting, and it's killing you from the inside out. You see, when you talk about it with a trusted confidant or a trusted friend or counselor, you're able to get it out. You're able to process your emotions one by one, and then you're able to get a perspective that's different from your own, thus helping you to navigate through the uncertainty of the situation. The fourth way to handle the situation is to get help. The fourth way that you don't want to handle it is to hide from it. You see, the natural desire is to hide it and hide from it. You see, hiding from the situation won't save you. Running from it will not save you. Trying to avoid it will not save you. But if you seek out help, whether it be the help of a counselor, whether it be the help of someone who is greater than you in dealing with situations, then you realize that you are in a situation where you can get help because you need help. You've come to terms that this is beyond my expertise. This is beyond my ability to solve. So I need help. Now you may be saying, Daryl, what do I do if I have a friend that is a strong friend that needs help? Well, I'm glad you asked. The first thing that you need to do is you need to be there for them. You see, when you're the strong friend, the impression is that you have it all together or that you never hurt or never experience pain or suffering. But that's far from the truth. The strong friend has simply mastered the art of putting everyone's needs above their own. You see, we all need someone in our corner, someone that will encourage us and tell us we're going to make it. The number one thing that you can do for your strong friend is be there for them. Encourage them along the way. Tell them that no matter what they're going through, they're going to get through it. It's important to talk to them. It's important to converse with them about various issues and challenges that they may be experiencing. But when you talk to them, it's important to be a safe place. Be a place where they can chat with you, and it stays only with you. But then number three, which is vitally important, is be a good listener. Sometimes a strong friend simply wants someone to listen. They just need a sounding board, someone to process their emotions and their thoughts with. After they get it out, they're finished. They're done. Sometimes they don't even need a response. They just need you to be there. They just need you to talk to them. And they just need you to listen. You know, I want to personally challenge you to check on your strong friend. You know that friend that seemingly has it all together? That friend that is there for everyone else, that's smiling, that's laughing? The one that is always expected to have the answer? Yep, that friend. I want to challenge you to check on them this week. Send them a text, pick up the phone and call them. Just randomly ask, how are you doing this week? You know, are you that strong friend for somebody else? Let me check on you right now. How are you doing? How are you feeling? I don't want you to feel that you have to deal with this by yourself. There are people that genuinely care about you. With so much happening in the world today, people are dealing with various issues in various ways. And I want you to know that it's okay to talk about it because somebody's listening. If you need somebody to talk to, hey, reach out to your good friend. Reach out to a family member. Reach out to someone who you know that will listen. As I close, 2020 is not over yet. Nope, 2020 is not finished. And before we leave from this year, let's not expect this year to end how it started. Yeah, I know January through September has been interesting. It's been challenging, but we still have a few more months to go. And I believe that the rest of this year will be the best of this year. So I want us to change our narrative. Let's change the whole perspective of this year. I believe that even though we have experienced calamity in this year, some ups and some downs, this year still has the potential to be a good year. Don't just talk about it. Let's be about it. Let's do all that we can to make the rest of this year the absolute best. Until next time, peace.
Thanks for listening to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Follow us on social media at Necessary Conversations Podcast. Join the conversation by leaving a message on our website, necessaryconversationspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you'll be notified every time a new one drops. Now, go have the conversations you need to have with the people you need to have them with.